as you all know, today is Sacrament Sunday, so all money that, all loose money will go to the Oblation Fund. Will you please bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have brought to us, and thank you for bringing everyone here safely so that they can hear the spoken word. And thank you for all that you have done throughout the world. Thank you for bringing the new year, and thank you for creating us. And please bless this money so that it will go to a good cause. And I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Holy. Do you wonder, as you watch my face, if another one should have had
each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that His Spirit might touch each of your hearts this day, and that you might have that desire to serve Him and keep His commandments. I introduce to you the ones on the rostrum here with me. And my far right is Brother Elder Alan Owens. He will be bringing the invocation, and he will also be serving. And Elder Dan Shears will bring us the spoken word. And on my far west left is Priest Monty Nordine. He'll be serving and bringing a benediction. And Elder Clarence Herning, he'll be blessing of the wine and serving. And Elder Vernon Pearson will be blessing the bread and serving. And Priest Farron Brooker is serving, and I'm Elder Ray Sams. And special music is brought to us today by Dora Staten and Peggy Shear playing the piano. And I sure welcome each and every one of you, and I especially welcome our visitors this day. Maybe we, scripture reading is taken from Genesis 6, 62 and 63. Even so, ye must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, of water and of the Spirit, and be cleansed by blood, even the blood of my only begotten, that you may be sanctified from all sin, and enjoy the words of eternal life in this world, and eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. For by the water you keep the commandments, by the Spirit you are justified, and by the blood you are sanctified. May we continue with hymn number 43. Celebrate the beginning of a new year. I would humbly pray, dear Father, that we would sanctify our lives, that we might prepare ourselves for the return of your kingdom here on earth. Please, dear Father, bless our service this day. Bless all of those who are involved, that we might prepare for your return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What a better way to start the New Year's off is by coming together and partaking of the sacrament of the Lord and remembering that covenant that we had made with Him. I want to share some scriptures with you at this time, and I invite you to open your scriptures up, read along with me from John 6, starting with verse 27. Labor not for meat which perish, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man has power to give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth not on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the resurrection of the just at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except he doeth the will of my Father who has sent me. And this is the will of him who has sent me, that you receive the Son, for the Father beareth record of him. And he who receiveth the testimonies and doeth the will of him who sent me, I will raise up in the resurrection of the just. For it is written in the prophets, And these shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore stole among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the resurrection of the just at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And my prayer is that we might all remember that covenant that we had made with our Heavenly Father to always keep His commandments and do His will in all things. And I pray that His Spirit might touch each of us this day.
Kings of earth on a course unknown. bearing gifts from afar, hoping, praying, following yonder star, silhouette of a caravan painted against the sky, wise men searching for the holy child. One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the world. A star hangs over Bethlehem, a journey ends in the night. Three kings trembling behold the glorious sight. Heaven's treasure Emmanuel, drawing men to bow down. Tiny baby, born to wear a crown. One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the world. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tiny baby, born to wear a crown. One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the one king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the
while the prayer being read over the bread, may we kneel as far as possible.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat it in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Being read over the wine, may we kneel.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you.
And then you missed their portion of either the bread or the wine. I guess before I start, I better make a correction from the announcements. My wife was quick to point out that our granddaughter's name is Hannah Hancock and not Hannah Shear. So I know that, but sometimes when the thoughts get in here and they scramble around and they come out different sometimes. So that presents a challenge. You are going to have to listen very closely this morning to see if there's any other. And you don't know if I'm doing it on purpose just to catch you and make sure you're thinking. But, we won't tell Mike and Hannah that. But Mike does our tapes to our website, so he might find out anyhow. So. But anyhow, it is good to be here. Not only is this the first Sunday of the month, the first Sunday of the year, but this is the first day of the year. We have an opportunity to look to 2012 with a clean slate. And many times we need that. I appreciate very much the gift and the ministry that's already been brought by our ministry of music. And I'm sure if Dory and Peggy had any more songs, we'd love to listen to them. But I know they just practiced too, and I was able to enjoy those yesterday while they practiced. And I know it's pleasing. Oh, Heavenly Father, when we use our gifts for His glory, and we are all ministered to as Dory sang for us, what a gift she has. You know, if I tried to do that, I wouldn't bring the same ministry as Dory did. But yet, God has given each one of us special gifts and talents that He expects us to use to bring glory to Him. And it's up to us to do that. And as we do, we'll bring ministry. And that's what He wants us to do. Several weeks ago, Brother Micah led a class on a Sunday night, and he asked us a question. And he asked for those who are assembled for a response. And I'm going to ask you the same question. For you to describe the characteristics of God. And I know there's a lot of them, but I want to just take a few moments and have you tell me what some of the characteristics of God are. And you know that if you don't raise your hands, I sometimes call on people. So don't be bashful. Who would like to share? What are some of the characteristics of God?
It's all powerful.
All powerful.
He loves little children.
Loves little children.
Merciful.
Merciful.
Forgiving.
Forgiving. I got two of those. That's it. Forgiving.
Just.
Justice.
Just.
And there's many, many, many more. And at times it's hard for us to comprehend the nature of God. Now, Micah didn't ask this question, but I want to ask it. What are some of the characteristics of man? And we're not going to be here all day. And we're not just talking about my weaknesses, but what are some, just briefly, some of the characteristics of man?
Hate.
Hateful. Selfish. Greedy. Carnal.
Carnal's inborn devilish.
We know that there is a vast difference between the nature of God and the nature of man. And we could spend the whole day just talking on those two things. And I might refer to that a couple times this morning. So just keep those things in mind. You know, for many years, and as long as I can remember and before, we've always been told that these are the last days. In my patriarchal blessing, which is given 37 years ago, time flies, but it was given back in 1975, I was told, these are the last days. This is a marvelous age, and you have lived to see the fulfilling of the prophecy, that many should run to and fro, and knowledge would be increased, and you have witnessed and seen these very things happen. I was curious It said that you had witnessed prophecy. And I looked in word search to see when was this, or what was this prophecy? And it was taken from the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And that phrase where it says, "even to the time of the end," kind of struck a chord with me, because that kind of narrows it even down a little more than we are just living in the last days. We are towards the end. Something that we need to be mindful of. And as I thought about this, about it saying that knowledge would be increased, it just is beyond my human comprehension how the knowledge of man has doubled and tripled just in the last 37 years. It's just mind-boggling what man can do. And it talks about going to and fro. The other morning when I was driving to a job, it was just getting daylight, and I looked out to the east, and I'd never seen so many jet trails. They were just crisscrossed all over the sky. I couldn't count them all. And I was thinking, going to and fro, it was just, and the next morning there was none. I've never seen that before. And if you listen to the news, more people are traveling, even this time of season, to see families. We're going to and fro in numbers, countless numbers. And the increase of knowledge, it's beyond my comprehension. With the computers, in the medical profession, I cannot comprehend it. But yet we are told that these are signs of the end times. And sometimes it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And you've heard me say it many times, I am very tech challenged when it comes to these new gadgets and gizmos that are to make our life easy. And with my job situation, I have to go to different people's houses sometimes to look at a job. And when I'm talking to them on the phone, they'll give me directions. They'll say, go X amount of miles, turn left, or go east. And they'll give me signs or say, there's a quick trip or something on this corner, and there's something on this corner. And it's like they're talking a foreign language to me. And plus, many of you know that sometimes I can't read my own writing once it gets cold. So it's very hard for me sometimes to find these places. So my wife, knowing this, last year purchased a GPS for me. And many of you heard Brother Meffer's sermon several months ago about the GPS and the maps and stuff are ways that help us to get to our goals. Well, she bought me this little thing. And for the longest time, it sat on my desk. And I know it came with instructions, but I was wanting someone else to tell me how to use it and run it. And when I opened it up, I know what the kids' response were. Oh, no. Because they know what would happen. I say, how do you run this? And so a week or so ago, the job I had to go to was in Merriam, Kansas. And I had to be there early, you know, and it meant going through downtown Kansas City in rush hour traffic. And that is very, very, very stressful to me. Very stressful. And my wife helped me, and she plugged in the address and wrote out directions and everything else. And going down the interstate, you know, sometimes my eyesight isn't the best and the signs are a little blurry at a distance. And going 60 miles an hour or 55 or even 30 sometimes maybe. And listening on the news, you always hear about avoid downtown traffic, the Jackson Curve. I don't know what it is about the Jackson Curve, but there's always something going on. It was very, very stressful. And I was going by myself. Now, if my wife's with me, she can tell me how to drive and to go. But I was by myself. And I was going through downtown, and I missed my curve, my turn. And they don't stop to let you regroup. You just keep going. And all of a sudden, this little machine starts to turn here, turn there. And so I started doing what it said. And somehow, I don't know how, it took me through downtown Kansas City and got me to where I was going. And there was another time, just this last week, I was going to another job up by the airport. And I thought, I'll use it. And I missed my turn. And it took me, you know, through a neighborhood. It said, turn here, turn there. And I thought, that is so wonderful. And as I got to thinking about that, I thought, you know, this little instrument knew exactly where I was. And there were probably thousands of people using it at the same time. Not going the same place, but using this or something very similar to it at the same time. I don't know how it works. I know that there's satellites up there somehow, and they beam signals, bouncing them back and forth, and somehow this thing was very personable to me. It told me where I was, it knew I was lost, and it got me on the right path. And I got thinking about that. Of the thousands of people that were using it at that time, it still knew where I was and how to get me where I was going. And you know, man designed this. Educated men and women went to school, and they figure out how to do this. We just described man, and we gave all the qualities of man, characteristics, and we had the ones of God. And I thought, you know, people, I'm going to say, how can God be mindful of billions of people on earth all at the same time? And I thought, he is without beginning and end. If man can do it, can't God do it? And it brought me back to realize that no matter where we're going in life, God knows where we are. And he's doing everything he can to get us back on the right path. 2012. We can assume that there's going to be stresses in all our lives. Just as it was very stressful for me going down the interstate 60 miles an hour and not knowing where I was going and cars whipping by me and people aren't bashful, they aren't afraid to honk their horn at you, and it was very stressful. We will have stresses in 2012, whatever they might be. But yet we know that there is a God who is personally mindful of us and knows where we are and what it'll take to get us back on the path. My son-in-law, Mike, he understands all this stuff. And a lot of times, you know, it's the kids we call if we have a question. Well, what's the computer's doing this, or how do you do this? And one time, we were talking with Mike and Hannah and asking a question, and Mike used the term, it's probably OE. And I thought, and Hannah kind of giggled. I go, what's OE? Some of you may know. Maybe that is that an actual term? Okay, I thought maybe Mike was making it up. It's operator error. 99% of the time, operator error. I've been talking to Peggy. I said, I don't know what it's doing or telling me. She goes, well, push the screen or push a button. But anyhow, operator error. You know, sometimes we have operator error when we're dealing with God. It's not that he is doing anything wrong or that he's not there anymore. It's we as the operators are not pushing the right buttons or not doing something that he's asked us to do that will cause us to not get where he wants us to go. Several years ago, I heard a story related, and I don't know if it's true or not. But it seems that this lady on one particular morning was reading her scriptures, and she came across a scripture, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. So she read it and said, it says that. So she pulls her shade, kneels down and prays. And then when she got up, she raised the shade and said, I knew you'd still be there. That's definitely operator error. Not understanding God or his nature. For we know that it was the brother of Jared who said into the mountain, Zinir, remove, and it was removed. So it is possible. But it takes instructions. I could spend the rest of my life, however long that be, trying to understand this. And I might be able to use it to worry better than I have been. But it would take the rest of my life to understand all the engineering that went into it, all the mathematics, all the statistics, all the man hours and woman hours or whatever. I would still not be able to comprehend it all because, you know, that's my name. But some of you are more tech challenged, and you probably know exactly how it functions, but it would take me that long. You know, sometimes God is that way too. We could spend our whole life trying to understand Him, and He wants us to, but yet He is so beyond our understanding that sometimes we can't comprehend it. But He is very merciful, and He will do those things to bring about those things that will allow us to be back into His presence. We're living in a time of the new year. Many of you already may have already done it. You've made your New Year's resolutions, and you've made all these promises. Brother Adams mentioned them this morning in the prayer service. Let's be mindful of what God wants us to do in making those New Year's resolutions. It is His desire for us to be a part of the kingdom. And if we allow Him to work with us and to guide us and direct us, it is His desire that we might assist in establishing that kingdom here in this part of His vineyard. It's up to us. But so many times we get caught up in the convenient things of the world that we lose focus of what He wants us to do. And it's pretty simple. And so as simple enough that sometimes I can understand it, that He wants us to do those things He's asked us to do. And as a result, His kingdom would become a reality. Several years ago, where I was working, I had opportunity to be visiting with a gentleman. And I think we visited on a couple different occasions, and he was not of our faith. And one of the comments, and we were talking, I think, probably about the last days, and his particular faith believed in the rapture, and he was saying something about, you know, the rapture could happen any day. And then he said something that I thought was very strange. But I hope it's not right away because I want to enjoy my retirement for a while. We get so caught. That didn't really make sense here. You know, they're feeling the rapture to go back to Christ. But yet, many times we're like that in our own lives. You know, we want the kingdom so bad, but we're so involved in our creature comforts and in those things of the world that, you know, Lord, just let me enjoy it for another day or so, rather than to seek first the kingdom of God. You know, the Nephites, when Christ came here to the Americas, we know that shortly after His coming here, that they ushered in what we refer to as the Nephite Golden Age, which is kingdom-like living. And I've thought of that. You know, what was it that stirred them to the point where they could do that? And as I thought and pondered this, it was that they had a personal testimony of Jesus Christ. They had opportunity to have that experience with Him to where they just didn't have faith in Him. They personally knew Him because He was among them, and He said, "Come, feel the Prince." And they did. And as a result, their faith was turned to knowledge. And as a result, they had kingdom living for a long time. And you know the story, the further they got away from that experience through the generations, the first generation and then the second generation passed, got into the second generation, and their testimony was not as strong, and they lost that personal testimony of Jesus Christ. And by the third and fourth generation, you would not recognize them, and eventually they destroyed themselves. So as we're thinking of our New Year's resolutions, may it be our resolution to have a personal testimony of Jesus Christ, that He might have place in our lives. And it wouldn't just be, "I believe in Jesus," but that "I know Jesus." Moroni, in the fourth book of Ether, as he was abridging the record, and I would encourage you, no, the fifth book of Ether, I'm sorry, to read the whole book. It has many marvelous things in there and insights. And he talks about faith. And he gives examples of those who exercise faith and the things that they were able to do and great and marvelous achievements. And, you know, if you have some time in the next week or so, read Ether 5:4. But towards the end of that chapter, Moroni writes this, And he says, "And now I, Moroni, bid farewell unto the Gentiles, yea, and also unto my brethren whom I love, until we shall meet before the judgment seat of Christ, where all men shall know that my garments are not spotted with your blood. And then shall ye know that I have seen Jesus, and have talked, and he has talked with me face to face, and that he told me in plain humility, even as a man telleth another in mine own language, concerning these things, and only a few have I written because of my weakness in writing. And now I would command you to seek this Jesus, of whom the prophets and apostles have written, that the grace of God the Father, and also the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of them, may be and abide in you forever. Amen." May that be our New Year's resolution. May we take the counsel of Moroni, and may we seek this Jesus, of whom the prophets and apostles have written, that we might fulfill the purposes, and that we might bring glory and honor unto Him, that we might come to a greater understanding of His nature, of His love, His mercy, and His forgiveness, that we might be that people He desires for us to be, that we might fulfill His purposes in these, the end times. And this is my prayer. Amen. Closing, may we turn to hymn number 367. 367. I had the wrong one down.
This service this day, and just thank you at this, again, the dawn of this new year. Pray that not only would you in your spirit go with us this day as we depart, but that you would continue with us throughout this year, that you would guide and direct us in our sayings and doings. For Lord God, we truly depend on you for all things, and so we look to you for the future, and thank you for the past and the present. And so, Lord God, it is in this that we ask your blessing upon us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.